Hello and welcome to the Impact Dynamics podcast. I'm Andy Little.
That's you, Bushy?
No, I thought it was Rusty.
I know. We're flying solo here. We haven't got Josh. It's all falling apart.
What have we been doing?
Let's do it. Match director, mate. Match director. Hello, Andy.
Hooray!
Hope that's enough.
We need your vote.
Now we've caught up to where we are on the podcast.
All right, go on back.
Roll the outro.
That was really smooth.
Is that three in a row we've failed?
Probably.
I think we've got the name right this time, though.
Here we are. Well, gentlemen, we don't have Josh, so we're not going out live.
Hi, Josh.
What happened to Josh, Plushy?
I heard he died.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Okay. Moving on.
Well, we were hungry. We were looking for dinner, you remember?
No. Wow. All right. Speaking of which, we're round count. We need to update our round count.
Ooh,
so it's been actually been over 2 weeks. We've been a little bit long. You've just moved the table and thrown everything out, and now Josh can't fix it on the fly. So let's just hope that's gone all right.
Sorry, Josh.
All right, Andy, you were on 1,976. What have you shot since then? That includes the Canberra match, which we'll get into.
Yep, so the Canberra match is going to be pretty close to, I think, 220.
Okay.
And then a bit of handgun at the local club, and that's about it. So let's make it 250.
So that's going to put you, if you run up there and add it in, 1,976 plus 250 is 2,226. Now that should rub out a lot better. There's a cloth there, mate. There's a green cloth there that you can rub one out with. There you go. That'll help. Good. Now we've done that. Plushy, you didn't put your number up last time, so you got a few to stack in here.
It's almost because I wasn't here. Like I wasn't.
It wasn't here, and you didn't message me back straight away.
What was what?
Two six.
Drinking alcohol.
All right. And Plushy was on 3,467. Plushy, what have you done since then? Did you look it up, or do you want me to look it up?
No, you had to look it up.
Oh, sorry. Oh,
yeah, we talked about it before the show.
What have you done since then?
I shot Canberra poorly. We'll talk about that later.
Let's not talk about that.
240.
Yep.
And then I did 25 rounds on Sunday.
So 25? Oh, sorry. 240 plus 25. Plus, the number you gave me last time was 475. So that brings you another 740 on top of, what was the number that was there that you just rubbed out?
340 something.
3470. We'll just go with that.
I think it was 07.
You're at 4,210. All right.
Right, yep.
Now, Josh has messaged me from the emergency ward at Flinders Hospital, less.
Are you in an ambulance ramping, or did you make it in?
He's not the one in hospital. But anyway, that's beside the point. Right. He has shot. Don't rub it out yet. What has he got there? 3901. He has shot 450. 3901 plus 450 will bring us to 4351. That's getting pretty close between you and Josh.
Yeah, like Nerf darts don't count, Josh.
And you can just leave mine up there because I have not shot a gun since. Yeah, that's disappointing. This is not how I foresaw the year going. I was thinking, I figured I'd be behind you guys a bit, but not even cracked four figures into September.
Josh, you're no longer invited to Morgan next weekend.
Can I come?
Yeah, sure. No, you're going too good. You're not getting an invite. Okay. No practice for you.
Speaking of going too good, Andy, second place at the Victrix Capital Clash.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Yay.
Why didn't you win?
Who did win? Oh, Ash.
Yeah.
Ash.
I was chatting to him today.
It was close. I think it was close. I don't know why I didn't win.
It was
a couple of shots there. I can think of them. I know the ones.
Okay. haven't stopped thinking about them ever since, right?
Yes, yeah. It keeps me up at night.
As long as someone does. Nice. And and Plushy, how did you – do we not talk about it? How'd you go?
It wasn't brilliant.
Okay.
I honestly can't remember. I think it was like 14th or something. It was another good, not good result from me.
Not a good result from Plushy.
Drive back from Canberra, it was just memory delete.
That's pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You slept the whole way, so how would you know?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just assuming.
Good. Ooh. So, Ernie, tell us how you did it. How was the match? All the things.
Yep. Yeah, it was a good match. I think that was the first match they've had there, wasn't it?
It was the first PRS level match they've had.
Mm. Yep. No, it was. I enjoyed the range. It's a normal square range, backs onto is that a national park or something, up a big mountain.
Yeah, there was goats.
Yeah, there were goats.
The goats came on the range.
Okay. Yep. True. Good. Yeah, barricades were good. Targets were pretty good as well. Some interesting designs.
What are you doing there with your fingers, plushy? That doesn't sound great.
Just giving a graphical representation of the biggest target on the range.
You're saying they're small targets?
No, not at all.
That's what you were saying.
Yeah, they were small targets.
They were small. But I did enjoy that you had vertical ones and horizontal ones. Like,
ooh, they were good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did like them.
Yeah, okay, so ones that were wider but not tall.
Tall.
Yep. Okay, so real dedicated challenges. Yeah. Yep.
Trimming bars, yes. Trimming bars. Okay. They were very well run.
What else? Oh, fox heads, some little bunnies.
Oh, those bunnies were running like about 60 k's an hour. They were really stretched out. They were almost narrow.
They were almost like trimming bars as well. Yeah.
Right.
So, no, it was good. The barricades were pretty good. I think there was one stage that they learnt quickly, doesn't work well, muzzle brakes.
Oh, yeah, hay. Okay. Oh, hey.
I did see photos of that and went, oh no.
I was second shooter on that. I was second shooter on that stage, first stage of the match.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, that's a good time to be on it.
No, it was not.
No?
Because all the loose hay.
Oh, okay.
The loose hay came off. Because it took a few shooters to work out that you had to get your muzzle brake forward of the hay and up in the air.
Yes.
Mm. So we're slow learners. But I had to tip the hay out the front of my scope after the first stage.
Okay.
It was half full. Of,
yeah, right.
Yeah, wow. in the objective. Good. They wrapped it in plastic, and amazingly, that plastic survived.
Yeah, it's tough stuff.
Yeah, was not expecting that.
Yeah, right. Okay. The hay bales, we've done that for a long time, but back in the day, not very many of us ran muzzle brakes. So that didn't make that much of a difference. It was no problem. So, interesting.
We had like a pyramid style.
Oh, we can stop talking about it now. There's no need to do a full in-depth review.
All right.
Yeah, it's done.
So let's go on to, legitimately interested in the truing bars type.
Yes.
Type of stuff. So were they the vertical targets and the horizontal targets, were they on the same stage or they were on separate stages?
Same stage.
There was two stages, I think. One of the stages they were incorporated and one that was, I think it was verticals
just
only.
The verticals. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Yep. So, I mean, we've probably seen that more with the vertical side of things. We've had KYL racks that are taller targets than they are wider. But this one, you had – give us a breakdown on the stage, actually. That'd be an interesting stage to delve into.
Yeah. Three distances.
Unless you're going to tell me it was a really not great stage.
Three distances. I forget what you're shooting off the top of. But then your first shot was at a horizontal trawling bar. So you get your wing call.
Yep.
And then your next shot was on a vertical.
Yep.
And then they went down in size. Next shot was on a horizontal, next shot was on a vertical, new distance, same again, and then at 500 metres, same
So there
again.
Were pairs on the way out.
Yeah, it was really good, actually. People did quite well on that.
Here we go. So Dope Check, oh, that's a good name for it, fair enough.
Oh, it was good.
Yeah, so you got 12 rounds and three nominated positions. You've got your true bars. Yeah, that's rad. I like that.
Was that day one or day two?
They had one on each.
Yeah, well, that stage.
That particular stage.
That stage was day two. I reckon.
Oh, that was when you could choose to be off the table prone, off the rooftop.
Yes, true.
And then also off of...
Was it a wall bale?
Yeah, it was a wall bale.
Okay.
That was really interesting to watch, actually, the way that people approached that.
Yep. So you didn't have to shoot off all three? Or
you had to shoot off all three, but in any order you like. But the target engagement order was fixed.
Got further out.
Yep.
You started at the near ones, but the near ones were pretty small.
Right.
And then the middle ones were pretty generous, and then the far ones were sort of
in
the
between.
Middle there somewhere.
Yeah, okay.
So a lot of people went rooftop first, and then hay bale, modified prone, or not modified prone, but prone off the hay bale, and then ran down to the bench and got prone on there and shot off of that.
Okay.
A lot of people did that, and there was a whole bunch of other people that looked at it and went, well, the close targets are actually the hardest and jumped on the prone shots first, then went to the wool bale and did some more prone. And went, well, if I'm not going to get a shot off, it's going to be off of the rooftop at the furthest targets. You're not wasting good prone shots. Mm-hmm. So there was a real difference in approach there with people that were confident that they get all their shots off versus people that were like, well, I'm going to get the easy points first and then we'll deal with the later points at the end of the stage. Yep. Yeah.
How did you tackle that one, Andy?
Yeah, I sized up the targets and realised that the closer targets were the smaller, harder ones to hit. So, I did the modified prone, you'd say.
First up.
First up.
I did that. I did prone hay bale, then the rooftop.
Sounds about right.
And then got up because I thought I cleaned it. And then got up and I was like, yes, I had the best match. And I was like, turn around. They're like, you got an 11. I'm like, no, I got all of them. And everyone's like, mm-mm. I'm like, bummer. But there was a puff of dust. They're like, there was a puff of dust off of a rock that was right next to the target. And I was like,
right up at the 500 there.
Yeah. It looks the exact same dust you get when you have a good impact on target. Yep. Very similar. And it was, that was tough.
Yeah. Mm. 11 though. 11 out of 12.
Yeah, that wasn't. I'm not unhappy about that.
That's still pretty good.
Yep.
Yeah. Surely. Okay. Andy?
The winds were definitely giving us some grief on Saturday.
Wind was a challenge.
Yeah.
Windiest it's ever been in Canberra, I believe.
Yep. And from that direction. It's not usually.
Yeah.
Not usually from that direction.
It was hard because the wind at the closer ranges wasn't a true indication of what
Andy
was going on.
Andy's bailing. Yeah. Oh, he's taking his clothes off. Okay.
All right.
Righto.
I didn't know it was that sort of podcast.
Well, it wasn't. Now.
What was that? Wow. That sounded expensive.
Yeah. You're making some interesting noises there, Andy. That's all right. What? Okay.
Yeah, cool. So the
Oh, you're wearing the shirt of Plushie's biggest failure.
Biggest what?
Failure.
Oh, rough.
The last finale
stage
last year. He's out.
You taking your top off too?
It's just out. He's gone. Cool. That's all right. We only talk to people on the podium anyway.
What are you doing here?
Interviewing. Someone's got to ask questions, all right?
Oh, dear.
The wind might be blowing from the right to left up close. And you're like, okay, that's a right to left wind.
Mm.
And then you'd definitely missed off the right-hand side and it was left to right at the back. And the prevailing wind was generally left to right.
Yep.
I think so.
Generally, but it was a little bit variable in close. Yep. So you'd be like, I got this.
Because that's the range that rises as it goes further out, doesn't it?
Yeah, but there's a gully between 300 and about 385 or somewhere in there. It's a very big gully. And they get some breezes coming from the other way.
Okay.
That was really good. The wind was definitely challenging.
I learned not very quickly, but I should have picked it up a lot sooner that don't look at the mirage because you were looking at that closer mirage.
Well, that was actually something we talked about. It was actually having a scope or binos that you could set your depth of field to different areas, like different bits of mirage on the range was actually really important and actually knowing where you were and being able to work out, okay, is that the mirage right in front of the target or is that the mirage up close? Was really valuable. I mean, it didn't help me, but some other people that we were talking to definitely helped those people.
Okay.
Being able to do that rather than just look at the mirage and go, oh, yeah, that's right to left, and then turns out it was going the other way.
Yep.
Okay.
Probably something else I need to work on next time is target identification from your shooting position.
Righto, tell us. There's a story to that. Tell us what happened. And plus, you had the same story because he just, the face he made.
Oh, I think.
Pain. It just was pain.
Did it include the fox heads and rabbits or something? Something like that.
I just kept, my natural point of aim was terrible because there wasn't a lot of landmarks on the range. You'd put your gun down and you'd be like,
searching.
Huh, that's not what I thought I was looking at.
Yep.
And you'd be like, like left, right. This podcast, you can't tell.
Yep.
Then you back your zoom out. You're like, okay, there it is, and you got it, and off you go. And then 5, 6, 7 seconds gone, looking for your first target, and then you're okay. But there was only like three or four good reference points on the range, I reckon. It was
not heaps. And then some of them you couldn't see when you were down prone. Like one of them, I stuffed up, shot the wrong target twice, and I'm like, I'm smashing out. Why aren't they calling impact?
Yeah, it's usually a reason.
Yeah.
It's usually you.
That's it.
Yeah.
So looking at it, binos standing up behind, I was like, yeah, sweet. There's my reference point. 200 meter berm at target right on the edge of the berm.
Yeah.
And then like a similar target at around 300 or just past it. Same target layout, same size, that sort of stuff. And then you get down prone and I couldn't see the 200 meter berm. So I was like, that must be my target. And then just,
send it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, well.
Okay.
Mm.
So target acquisition is challenging. I mean, that's where trying to get down and seeing it from the position you're probably going to be in is advantageous.
Very valuable.
When you can do it or some other thing. Did they paint target frames or anything on those lines?
A little bit. So we didn't have painted targets except for the one stage where we're not going to talk about.
Okay. wow. All right. That was a passive-aggressive move there.
Yeah. But we had some – I remember at the Sydney match, there was a bit of feedback, the old blind people.
Mm-hmm.
couldn't see the targets in amongst the backdrop.
Yep.
So I think Steve took that on board, and he definitely painted the just the edge of the targets.
Mm. Okay.
But not all of them. Thanks, Steve.
Some of them.
When it's really hard to paint the edges of like a 15mm target.
Yeah.
I get like it was challenging.
Got it.
But yeah, so that was some of those ones were really good to find. You'd be in this, you're like, ooh, there's diamond. Bang. You could really make out the edges.
Yep. Yeah.
And then there was some of the ones that weren't painted, maybe in the shade or something like that, that were a lot harder to find.
So yeah.
There was a real mix.
Yeah, I didn't mind. I think it's a good idea because first up, those targets look like they've been hit. Like, you know, they've just seeing the edge. It's almost as if they've had 100 rounds.
But it's enough to ID the thing.
Yep.
Yeah, it didn't blend into the background because you were shooting in the shadow for two-thirds of the day.
Okay.
Yeah. So the targets didn't get any sun on them, and it could be quite – I could see how it would be very difficult to find targets there if you didn't paint those edges.
Yep. Okay. And was it cold in Canberra?
-4 or -5 on Sunday morning.
Yeah, pretty nippy.
Okay.
It was thermals on the Sunday.
Yeah, but it wasn't actually Saturday. It was colder with the wind, true. I found. Yeah, yes. Sunday. Yep. I didn't even have my heavy jacket on Sunday. I was fine without it.
Yep.
But it was, turns out like -5 Canberra is different to like an Adelaide Hills.
Okay.
Like I'll rank that as in the hills, maybe like a 2-3 degree morning.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
If we had -5 Adelaide Hills.
Oh, yeah. It'd be problems.
There was a bit of ice on the windscreen, but it took like 30 seconds to clear out. To clear out, yeah. It was dry.
Okay.
Dry cold, which wasn't too bad.
Okay. All right. So can't blame the conditions then.
No, not really.
I'll tell you what there was though. There was brisket.
Oh, yes. Okay. I've heard about this.
It was very good brisket. Lunches. The boys, cooked all night and all day and all night.
Mm-hmm.
It was the lunch was pretty good.
And the breakfast was good too, bacon and egg rolls.
I didn't have that.
No, they were good.
It was too full of brisket, this bloke.
Started on that straight away, that's right.
Yeah, right.
Got stuck into it.
The firebox was like the most popular part because it was the only warm thing around.
That's it.
It's usual way for those sort of matches.
They had this real tease there. They had all these gas patio heaters, but they didn't have gas bottles in them. We seriously discussed on Saturday going to Bunnings and buying some gas bottles and bringing them back.
Good idea. Yeah. Didn't do it. No. All right. I'm holding a rather small target here in my hands to try and keep it away from Plushy. How big is this target, Andy?
42mm.
That didn't sound like Andy, but okay. good response.
Someone's measured it.
Yeah. All right. And this was at 402 meters.
It was. Yes.
Small target.
It is.
Very small. You hit it?
I did.
How many times?
Twice.
There you go.
Out of 3 shots.
Out of 3. Okay. Did anyone get it 3 out of 3?
No.
Nope. No. So best score was 2. Mm. Yeah. So a few guys.
I think there was about 10 of us who got it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
So, yeah, it was a good challenge.
Good challenge, Plushy? Plushy?
What?
Was that a good challenge?
Yeah, sure.
I think his challenge was seeing the target, finding the target to start with.
There was, I mean, there was 3 targets. One was, I don't know, about 4 times the size of that, the big one.
Yep.
Second one's about twice the size, thereabouts.
Yep.
And then that one, and I shot the first one. I got it 2 or 3 times, whatever. No problems. I could see that. And then I'd worked out where the middle one was because it was in the shade. It was in the shade, and it was really hard to see them. They were beat up.
And were they painted?
Well, it turns out they were painted for the first squad.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. brand new targets. So.
Yeah.
It was what it was.
Yep.
But yeah, I couldn't see the middle one or the small one. So I'd worked out on the hanger whereabouts it was. And I'm like, okay, I've got my reference point here. And then I hit it and it spun around a couple of times and then it moved sideways. And then it just landed somewhere. I'm like, well, that one's gone. And I shot at it a few more times and I think I got it once.
Yep.
And then I shot at the little one. And I was like, well, it's not that shadow. And then I shot at another shadow and I'm like, I can't see. my eyes were not good enough to see that.
Yeah.
It was a bit tricky. I reckon like maybe 200 meters behind there was like rocks. Like it was a rock.
Yeah, it was really challenging. it really drew out good in concept, but it drew out the difference in people's eyesight.
Yeah,
and
okay.
And also you can get some luck with the conditions, like the cloud to sort of push to the side a little bit and just get a little bit more light and people could all of a sudden they could see them and they're like, then they got some good scores. I saw, was it Dan Hennessy? He got a 9.
Yeah, right.
And he had broke the target.
Out of 10?
Yeah, he broke the target. Well, we had it hang up and get hung up.
Yep.
Partway through, he had to wait. And he was on the, I think he was on the little one when it happened. And then he had to re-engage straight onto the little one after having a ceasefire.
Yeah, right.
And just smacked it again. And then, like, that was, well, he was getting towards the end of their squad. And then our squad goes up, first shooter, like, 1. Ooh, ouch.
Makes it tough. Makes it tough. Yeah, it's a small target. It's a small target.
It was very small.
I think it was... Did Steve say it was scaled to represent a milk jug at a mile?
Yeah. That's exactly the concept.
Oh, okay. So
that was a milk jug challenge.
Hence the shape. Yeah. Hence the shape. Okay.
It's not ball bag shape. It's milk jug.
It does look like it, though.
Milk jug.
I mean, they're pretty straight lines if that's what you're
with. We were chatting before the show, and I reckon that's the smallest target we've had at a PRS match.
Yep.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think so. Possibly we should delve into the history books on that one day. Mm. I think all the history books are behind us, actually. I think much of them are.
Hey, Josh, got a job for you.
That's it. While you're in hospital. Right. And it was from what I'm told, it was a very well-run match. All went to plan in that regard. And kudos to the crew at Precision Rifle ACT.
Yeah, they did a good crew. They put in a lot of work.
Yeah.
It was
a lot of barricades were built specially for the match. They didn't have a lot to draw on, being their first big match. Yep. Those guys did really, really well.
I heard that it was a very smooth running match for that side of things, and that's a credit to them. I know those guys worked very hard on it, good stuff.
Thank you. And then everybody just got, they're like, hey, I think we've got the handle on the conditions maybe for next year. There's like things that happen here, and there's things that happen here, and you've got to watch for this. And at the end, Steve's like, hey, good news, everybody. They're completely demolishing the range and changing it all for next year. We're like,
great.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Oh, yeah. That's what that's fantastic. What you want.
Yeah.
Cool. Mm. Exciting to see. I mean, those guys were, how long has that club been running now?
A couple of years.
Yeah. And they came from nowhere and put something together, and they shoot a lot regularly there. Yeah. It's really good to see. Mm. So they take all those targets and barricades and wait while their range gets rebuilt. That's it. Hopefully they have some great shoots in between.
Yeah. Did you happen to hear where I was sitting on the Saturday night?
On the same table as Plushy or?
Not physically sitting.
We need to come back to that. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, the ladder.
Yeah.
No.
Position.
Sixth.
Were you?
Yeah.
Traditionally.
You had a good Sunday.
I did have a good Sunday.
Yep. I thought I had a reasonable Sunday.
Yep.
And I didn't have a good Saturday.
No, I had, I guess, maybe a better Saturday than you, but.
Yeah. You definitely had a better Saturday than me.
Yeah. Okay. So from sixth to second.
That's a big jump.
Did you perform well, or did others choke? Or was it a combination of the both?
Possibly a combination.
Is that you being humble and you actually did really well on Sunday?
I did shoot well, but during the day I thought, I'm six, I'm just going to go out, have fun, not worry about the scores.
Took the pressure off?
Yeah, on the Saturday I was keeping track of scores from each stage and that sort of thing. Sunday I didn't look at the scores and I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to just have fun.
They're onto it now.
Did you get to the end of the match? Did someone tell you, or did you have to wait till presentations to find out?
A couple of guys were like, like people who had been sort of watching, they were like, oh, we reckon you're up there, you've been shooting pretty well. I was like, yeah, I've been shooting well, but I assumed if I'm shooting well, the wind's good, conditions are good, other people are shooting well, so I'll probably stay that, six top sort of area. But I know why Ash was so quiet. He didn't want to help me out much.
Yeah, I remember seeing him in the car park on Saturday. I'm like, oh, how's your day, Ash? He's like, so-so, as he does. He never gives anything away.
Did he finish first on Saturday? Yeah. Okay. So he was in top spot for the weekend.
We're like, we're getting up him. We're like, it's probably one of those ones where you drop 3 points for the day. He's like, I went way worse than that. And he gets to presentations and he's still first.
Dropped four points.
Yep,
cool. Credit to Ash. He took it out. Who took a third? You took third?
Sean.
Oh, yeah. Sean had a good match too.
That's right. 1 point on the skills stage.
Oh, really?
Do you know who was second overnight?
Who?
Sean.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was going well.
Mm. Yeah. Yep. He's firing. He's going to bring us on to our next topic that I wanted to bring up, but you boys both qualified for finale.
Woo!
Okay, plus he doesn't care, but Andy's excited. He's
not well, but sort of fell over the finish line.
Oh, and that's coming up in, what, about 2.5 weeks?
Oh, wow, that's close.
Sorry to say that. No, it's a bit longer, isn't it?
There goes any hope of me being good.
No, it's 2.5 weeks. about 2.5 weeks. So it's coming up, gents. Andy, you are well positioned. I think you're fifth overall now. Is that a weird feeling, not being sixth?
That's where I was last year when I entered finale.
How did that go?
Well, like two stages before the end of the day, it was going very well.
Yeah.
And then it didn't.
Okay. Yeah. So I've told that story before. Right. Yeah. So tell us, gents, what's your prep plan between now and finale? Is there any shooting involved, or are we just ignoring it completely, or what's happening?
Oh, we've got a match. You should come shoot it for the live people that are watching.
There's no one live. Yeah. So they'll all come.
Yep.
What have we got? We've got Steel Slam on the week. Are you shooting that?
Yeah, I should probably register.
You should register, yeah. There's a whole bunch of people that haven't registered, and we're at the moment we think can there's you, like 14
you, you
people.
You register while he tells us about it.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
Oh, we haven't had one. We haven't had one for a couple of years because of COVID and things, and we decided it'd be a good time to do some train up for finale.
Yep.
Went out and put a whole bunch of new barricades in at the club, so that'll be a surprise for everybody when they rock up on Saturday.
Gotcha.
Well, not a whole bunch. There's a few, and there's more coming, which will be cool.
Oh, well done.
I'm not going to tell you what they are. We definitely moved skill stage two, though.
Okay.
It's now on the left-hand side of the range, or left-hand side of range one.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, the barricades moved.
Yeah.
The one that was concreted.
Yeah.
That one, we moved it, yeah. It was in the way. We decided we would put other things there.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So be it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Right.
So now we're taking away any feedback that anybody could have possibly
got. I don't know if I want to believe it.
Did you at least angle it so it's still pointing towards the target?
It's more squarer. To the, like, squarer.
To the range or to the target?
It's perpendicular to the 500-meter berm.
Well, isn't that target floating out sort of in the centre?
No, actually it's parallel to the 500-meter berm.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, perpendicular I don't think would have worked.
Problematic, yeah. No, your rifle would be perpendicular, yeah.
All right, we'll see how this goes.
Okay. Well, no, because there's another post that's actually off to the left of the one we normally use.
Oh, right.
Which will be fine, because what it allows us to do is put that out and everyone can shoot down that side, and then we can put that troop line that's down there.
Still next
to it. And it opens up a whole bunch of possibilities of not shooting that troop line prone all the time, because that's what we always do.
Right.
You got a nice solid, you got a very nice solid barricade.
This makes some sense for everyone that hasn't been to the range before, but yes.
No, yeah, so now we can start doing some troopy line type things.
Off barricade.
Off of a very solid barricade.
Yeah, okay.
We just have to build a little ramp so when people run up the 9 meter to skills too, they don't trip and eat dirt. there's some new stuff in there now, and there'll be some more new stuff in the next couple of months.
Okay,
nice.
some really good quality solid. Like the idea was we want to set the range up so there's permanent barricades to encourage people to shoot off them, and don't have to drag barricades out all the time to do practice. So it's just there.
Yeah.
And then you could actually run a match off of half a dozen or eight very solid barricades
that are permanent
without having to move a single thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it just simplifies match setup and all that sort of stuff for everybody.
Nice.
And try and encourage some people to shoot off with more barricades. So basically we just took out all the benches and we put in barricades. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Be great option.
Yep. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Excellent. All right, cool. So I got a question for you. Whoa, look out. Who did that? We're moving this and we're going to throw Josh's head off. Yeah. That's it. Did you invite the Victorians to Seal Slam?
No.
No, come on.
Oh, okay.
Well,
you know, Seal Slam was always the...
It was a little bit last minute.
Okay. So is this the invite to the Victorians?
Well, it was out on Facebook like a week and a half ago.
Yeah, okay. Because Seal Slam was originally a State of Origin.
It is. And
SA
I think,
side.
Well, yeah, but now we've got Victoria, New South Wales and Queensland. Mm. We should actually do some proper State of Origin.
Well, I'm pretty sure that New South Wales and Queensland are doing their own State of Origin.
Oh, typical.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, well, if the Victorians want to come over here and get beat, that's okay. I mean, we'll go over there and beat them too. It doesn't really matter where the location is.
Whew, some big words there.
Yeah.
True.
Well, who holds the trophy right now?
Yeah. I mean, undefeated.
Yeah, that's right.
State of origin.
Never been taken away from South Australia.
Yep. Exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's downstairs, actually.
So maybe next year.
Bring it.
Yeah, sorry, guys. I mean, if you want to bring a team and beat us, you're welcome.
So Seal Slam next year. State of Origin's back on.
I think so.
I can get behind that.
Yep.
Cool.
I can get behind that. Sounds very good. Cool. And so what about for you, Andy, your prep for finale?
Yeah.
Slightly distracted there.
No, that's all right. I'll be shooting my 223 at the Steel Slam.
Okay.
Because my six Creed's on about 2,500 rounds now.
Well, you like walking a fine line.
So, you know, I've been running it slow since I had this barrel.
Are you stacking excuses for the finale?
Yeah.
Until like day two, I'm like, oh, my barrel's burnt out.
Yeah, well, it's happened before. So I'll have exploding projectiles again.
True.
I mean, it's at 2,500. I've been running it slow and sort of trying to take care of it. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
Yeah, apart from prep, just load up my original load because I, on the Friday at the Vitrix, Friday practice at the Capital Clash, I sent maybe like 40 rounds playing with seating depth, and then I just went back to my original load.
It was more than 40 rounds, to be honest.
I probably was.
It was more like 80, you told us on Friday night.
Yeah, it was definitely closer to 50.
What were you trying to do? What were you trying to achieve?
Well, I think last time I had shot the rifle at the club, it just wasn't grouping that well.
Yep.
And so I gave it a massive scrub out, and then sent two 10-round groups on the Friday morning, and they both shot pretty average. And I was like, yep, definitely need to play the seating depth.
Do something here. Yep.
Yep. Yeah, so about 40, 50 rounds later, I was like, oh, I wonder what the original load's doing now. And it just, it came right in. So
I have a very different recollection of that. Given up at that point and you're like, oh, maybe this will work.
Well, I mean.
He didn't say that. He said, then I thought I'd check what the original load was doing. Just,
you're like, well, nothing else is working. Maybe this will work
then. I did find stuff that could have shot. Could have shot okay. I don't know. Waste of time, really. I could have been warming up and practicing properly.
Could have got first.
Yeah, I mean, it's under half inch, so is what it is.
Do the job. Yep.
I'm sorry, I hit that target twice, so.
Ooh, shade. Look out. Ooh. Hey. Very good. Speaking of shade, I was going to make a very loose transition here, and you sort of throw my timing off.
Speaking of shade.
But speaking of shade, do you know you can shade your beard?
I did.
With some, that's not shading. It's ruining, ruining it, but okay, do what you need to. Andy's picked up the point. You can shade your beard with some products from The Bearded Chap. He sponsored this podcast, and Andy's very indecisive. Go the beard wax. No, whatever that stuff is. That one. Big beard balm. Because that will shade your beard. You can go with some beard balm. So if you don't know, these guys have been sponsoring us for a long time. And they're a great company to deal with, makes amazing products. And, a lot of shooting. Blokes don't necessarily think they need to put this stuff on their face. And you're probably right. However, it does smell
great. You're
wrong. Yeah. You're probably right, but you're wrong.
But they don't have beards.
Yeah. And it does smell amazing. It actually is good for you. It's all natural stuff. And the guy who owns it, Luke, he is a shooter. So we like to support shooters. Mm-hmm. Shooters support us by buying this stuff from Luke. And they look and smell and feel amazing, which is always good. So if you go – now we're going to have to do this one live. We haven't got the buttons for this one. Oh, but no. If you go to thebeardedchap.com/
– Impact.
Or you use the code –
Impact.
plus he's frozen. Use the code
Impact
at the checkout. You'll be supporting The Bearded Chap. You'll be making yourself look and feel amazing and also supporting the podcast. So thanks to everyone who has done that, because there's been a bunch of you. It's been rad, and hopefully you guys will enjoy some bearded goodness. Beard balm.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Probably don't apply it while you're on a podcast.
My hands are oily.
Yeah, because now we're hang on. What about arm beards?
I was actually looking at Andy's leg hair and probably needs some attention.
Well, should we just bring the podcast out? You guys have that corner? You guys do what you need to do.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Well, finale. Finale also then leads on to some other questions. Maybe too premature for this question. We're going to throw it to you guys anyway.
Okay.
Because I know you're always thinking about what's coming, future plans. So is there, you're at 2,500 rounds for your barrel so far, so that's going to burn out midway through day one on the finale. So
I heard the round count's 400.
per day.
I've taken the 2-2-3.
My question is about next year and changes and you know, often I certainly see that people like to, you know, try stuff, tweak a little bit at the beginning of the year and then just run what they're running for the year, see the year out. But they often have a few things they want to change or try or experiment. Andy, have you got anything sort of back of the mind that you're thinking about for future changes? You are. Okay,
yeah,
good.
I'm switching up to the 6BRA.
Okay.
So
here we go.
So having the 6 Creed running it at 2850,
yep.
It's just the case feel's not there. You know, you can definitely feel it rattle around.
Yep.
So I thought, why not get a more efficient case, something that is going to work at the same velocities, lower pressures, and – probably okay. Still shoot really well.
Gotcha.
It will shoot really well. So
rebarreling the same gun, what are you thinking?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So I've got a Hardy barrel.
Yep.
I'll throw that on there. I have got a
TMB.
TMB, yeah. Yeah. Morgan King one. So I got King one of them edition, on edition, order. That's what it was. On order. So okay. I guess I'll put that on when it rocks up.
Yep. Anyway, yeah. Plushy, what about you? Are you changing up your box next year?
Don't think so.
Or adding one to your collection, aren't you? Adding a caliber.
I might add several, but yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
It's a new year after all. No, I've got a couple of 25 cal barrels.
Oh, hello.
So Swanee spun me up a couple of 25, one in 7-twist barrels with. He was abusing me the other day because I gave him my profile and he's like, "Why don't you just run a parallel?" Like 1.25 straight taper. I'm like, I'm not an F-class shooter. He's like, but it's basically, I'm not an F-class shooter. just give me what I want.
And when, what is your taper?
It finishes 1.1 at the muzzle.
Okay.
He's like, just run a parallel. Nope, not going to do it. No, I'm not that sort of person.
You're this sort of person.
Hey, Swanee, if you're listening, just finish it at 1.2, mate. It'll be fine.
He won't notice it.
I'm going to run 25 Good. Creed.
Okay.
Not for everything.
Okay.
So my plan is to have that as a backup. Well, I'm actually not necessarily going to have a backup gun. I'm going to have a backup barrel.
Right.
So I'll just have the ability to switch it out at the range if I want to.
Yep.
But for a Tassie, like a long range match, or like Little River, you rock up and it's like blowing a gale. That type of match.
Go for some speed.
Some speed. And those 25 cal Berger long range hybrid targets are very slippery.
Okay.
So we worked out at a Tassie type match, 800 metres, you know, your standard 10-12 mile an hour crosswind, it's between 0.2 and 0.3 mil inside of a 6 mil doing 2850 or something like that.
Yeah, right.
But when you think about how far you miss the targets by normally, you're not missing the target by 0.3, you're missing the target by...
And he doesn't know he hit this one.
Yeah, that's right.
Multiple times.
When I do miss, I have no idea where it goes. So
it's a little bit of a benefit.
He just pretends the bullets are exploding.
Yeah, well, you rock up to Little River and it's blowing 45 miles an hour.
Yep.
Definitely definitely help you in some of that switching wind.
Yeah, right.
So that works out to about, a foot? It could be up to a foot difference at 800 metres.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, which is quite a bit.
For the same wind call, that's a huge margin of error to make. Yeah, that's the target width.
Yeah.
Like you're basically buying yourself up to a target width in margin for error.
Mm. Just so doubling your margin for error, isn't it?
So I'm building a 25 cow.
In other news.
Yeah, okay. News?
Yeah, so I'll do that. I'm going to go 6 GT again. I'll get another barrel spun up for that as well.
Okay. Yep. Any plans on another Swan barrel?
Yeah. I'll only be here. That's all I run.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Surprisingly. I don't have it written here, but yeah.
Okay.
It's almost like I run his barrels.
So you're like your allegiance to that particular brand.
It's almost like Swanee's kind enough to help me out with some barrels and I run them.
Well, he's talking to the guy whinging about profiles. So,
I've got to post the reamer up there hopefully tomorrow.
Yep.
And next week maybe some barrels might come down.
Okay, that's interesting.
Ready to go.
So you run the same platform but then just change the barrel out for that sort of setup based on the match or potentially conditions. You'll travel with both to the match?
Yeah, if I'm not flying.
Yep.
If I'm flying, you just got to make the choice.
Yeah.
But if I'm driving to the match, I'll take the spare barrel and enough ammo to shoot either one.
Yep.
And then it gives you the option if it's switchy wind or whatever you think you might need it, or if the other one just decides to stop shooting like it did in Canberra, just take the barrel off and put it away and put the other one on and shoot that. Chances of both barrels not shooting at the same match are pretty thin.
Yep.
I'll do that. And then we did find the limitation of my reticle, I think, at the Canberra match.
Okay.
Yeah, I run the Tremor 3, which I'm like a Tremor 3 fanboy.
Mm-hmm.
I like to hold over, which is really good. But with the target size and the shadowy dark terrain behind the targets, you got to hold over and the targets just disappeared.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm thinking about grabbing another Night Force with the Mil-XT reticle and just having that sitting there as an option.
Yep.
I probably wouldn't change that on the day. Mm-hmm. Could, but more like if I know that I know Sydney and
I'd recommend against changing scopes through the day. I've got some experience.
If I was going to do it, I'd probably do it on the Friday.
That's not a bad day to change your scopes out.
Yeah. I know there's two rangers getting around now that I have trouble finding targets.
Yep.
Being Sydney and Canberra, so you may just consider running a different reticle for those matches.
Yep. Okay.
Something else I learnt.
You're talking about changing barrels over potentially during a match if you're having issues, then you've got to re-zero and stuff, is it?
I don't know that you'd... Why would you be allowed to do that? You can tell us for another couple of months.
Yeah, I can. Currently, you would be able to change one way.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to go back. You wouldn't be able to. The other one broke and then you miraculously fixed the other one.
No.
Once it's retired, it's retired.
Yes.
No, if I was going to make the change, it'd be on Friday during practice.
Yep. Would it be easier to have like a barreled action with a scope already zeroed and everything and you just swap chassis then?
It would definitely be easier.
Yeah. Not cheaper though.
No, not cheaper.
Oh, come on.
ultimately, it may not happen early next year, but it will happen at some point probably eventually. Next year. I'll get another action. And take two guns. It's way easier.
Yep. But
for the time being, it'll fill a gap.
Yep. Mm. Nice.
Nice. Okay, cool. So we've talked guns, cartridges. Mm-hmm. Any other changes planned? You talked about a scope potentially, or that's more adding to the collection.
Yeah, that's right.
Swapping out any other gear that's planned?
Not really. I've bought myself a new set of reloading dice.
Okay.
Oh, I thought they were mine.
I guess they are until I pay for them.
They're in my car.
Well, I will potentially have some new reloading dice soon.
see how things go after the show.
That's right.
Let's set this target up with some Nerf guns and let's see who gets it.
So whoever misses it first.
Yeah, yep. You're right. Yep. Cool. I've got myself some new reloading dice. Very cartridge. Anyway, carry on.
That's all right. So I went with the SAC Infinity seating die and also just their reloading sizing die.
Yep.
We, on the drive back from ACT, sort of crunched some numbers because of changing to that BRA. I was sort of like, well, I need dies and this sort of thing. Sitting in the car with this guy, he's like, well, why don't you just get a SAC?
Mm.
And running the numbers, it sort of makes sense.
Yep.
Where I can have multiple calibers under the one sort of set. If I'm definitely keeping the 6 Creed, I'm thinking of also keeping a barrel in a 6 Creed.
Mm.
Same sort of situation. If I do want something that I can push really fast,
yep.
I can. So that's my, I guess, option there.
Yep.
And then 6 BRA, and then just sort of opens up to other things as well.
I think the beauty of that particular sizing die is it you can use one sizing die for multiple calibers / cartridges.
Yep.
So it's on its own, it's an expensive piece of kit.
Yes.
But when you start replacing 3 or 4 dies, it becomes a cheap piece of kit.
Mm.
Which is really good.
Mm.
We did the numbers and it was like $2,500 versus $1,700 or something, wasn't it, to go through and buy all of the dies for one versus the other.
Yeah, it'd be a tipping point, wouldn't there, where you reach to a point and you're like, okay, now it makes sense to go this way.
And that was the justification you used to tell the boss about it, wasn't it? Like, well, basically, babe, like, I mean, if I can spend $2,500 on this, or I can spend $1,700 on this, and this is actually better. So it's basically saving money.
You see, the thing is, I just
it's don't. Too expensive not to buy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, yeah.
Well, you just don't tell her, and then,
oh,
hey, I won this at a comp.
We're not advocating this, all right?
Oh, dear.
We talk about all our expenses correctly, right?
Hmm. I think it was like 50
plus
bucks.
You just left the podcast.
I reckon it was 50 bucks.
Yeah, like, right.
Well, you know, what's 50 bucks?
As a deposit. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was sponsored. Like, just give it to me to use it and I say nice things, yeah.
Hmm. Not all you, as cool as you, mate. Not all as cool as you.
Oh, right. Here we go.
Oh, very good. All right, well, I'm sorry I asked. we delved down some rabbit holes. Yeah. Anything else?
No, anything I don't think else? So. Sticking with the ticker action.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't know.
Still running the Carless.
Yes.
That's the plan.
Yep.
I like it. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yep. I did really enjoy using one in Darwin.
Yeah.
Very jealous.
You can definitely see small targets with rocks behind them.
Okay. Good to know. Yeah. Good to know. That's a selling point. Okay. put that on the promotional video.
Yeah. Andy right. says right. you can see small stuff.
Yeah. Right.
I feel like I've got this additional lens that causes some problems.
Mm. Possibly.
Maybe.
Got it. Right. Well, it's falling apart. So let's wrap things up.
Backpedaling.
All right. But I do want to say that next episode, we got something special for our next episode.
Yeah. We do.
Josh will be trying hot sauce for the first time.
Woo.
Oh, gosh.
Assuming he gets out of hospital. Could be two episodes back to back where Josh and hospital were involved with each other.
So he's got to eat one piece of chicken, right?
He'll eat plenty of wings.
Right.
One of them has to have some hot sauce on it.
Ooh.
Right.
And we won't necessarily choose the worst, but a massive thanks to everyone who has written in and suggested hot sauces. We have bought a stack of them. We have a whole stack downstairs. So we're going to choose our favorite from that selection that was suggested to us, and then we'll give some prizes out to those.
Are we marinating in hot sauce, or are we just going to like dip it in?
I think we dip it in. Yeah, I think because we want the base to be relatively neutral, and then be able to dip it into the various hot sauces.
Okay.
Oh,
so, and the good thing is they all have their various ratings on them. So we're gonna start the night off at the lower end, and as we progress through, we will get hotter and hotter.
Right.
I think that sounds like a plan. Otherwise, it's going to be over real quick.
Yeah, I'm probably going to be over pretty Josh. Quick.
Yeah. For Josh. Josh, we'll save Josh to the end.
Just get the Ambos on standby. Or?
Yeah.
I think we've got to pick one that gets a great reaction from him, but he still rocks up to work the next day. That's going to be the tipping point.
So in other news, we're doing it on a Friday.
Yeah.
Very good. Anyway.
Friday before finale.
No. Let's not do that. We need him at the finale. No, we don't. Sam's coming to the finale, but anyway. That's all right.
What's Josh doing?
Not sure.
Recovering.
Not sure. Yeah. Recovering from the hot sauce.
Yeah.
We booked out like a 10-day period for him to get over it, so may not be enough. Right, excellent. All right, guys. Well, thank you for watching, and we were listening, and we will catch you next time when we are eating chicken and
burning our mouths.